Hello again, beautiful human beings. I am so excited to share today's episode with you. We are continuing in the Rad as Fuck Women series. We are on episode 16, and today I am sharing with you the amazing, the incredible, the talented Sarasa Fiejo. She is someone that I have never had the privilege of meeting in person, but I've gotten to know over these last few months on Facebook and social media. She's a contemporary clown artist, a fantastic performer. We've done a collaboration internationally. She's in Scotland right now planning the Edinburgh Clown Festival, Contemporary Clown Festival. And she is just so amazing to talk to. She has such an incredible life story and so many cool things to share. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this episode. So without further ado, here is Sarasa.
Hello.
Hello.
Yay, we can hear each other. Things are good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Do you say your name Saras?
No, it's Sarasa.
Oh, okay. Saras.
Sarasa.
Sarasa. Yes. All right. Forgive me. It'll take me a couple of times to get it right, I'm sure.
Don't worry.
It's really great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So for the people who don't know, would you mind introducing yourself and just kind of explaining what you do?
Yes. Well, I am a creativity mentor. I guide people into getting in touch with their creative energy and expand it within themselves and let it fill their daily life and their businesses and their relationships. I am also a performance artist. I do physical theater and contemporary clown and buteau dance and all together. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a visual artist. So I create installations and I paint oil paintings and I curate international events.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited that we're talking because number one, so much creativity just like oozing out of you. I have so many questions. But so where are you from?
I was born in Venezuela.
Okay.
And my parents are Spanish and they are the generation that moved to find better world, better jobs or better opportunities after the civil war in Spain. And after many, many travels, mm-hmm. in different, they were not together, like both of them arrived in Venezuela on their own, okay. with their own families. And then they met and I'm like the first generation that was born in Venezuela. Yes.
Oh, wow. And you're still in Venezuela?
No, at the moment I am based in Scotland.
Okay.
I left Venezuela, I think, around 14 years ago to become a performer artist. That's why I left. One of the reasons I left was this. Mm-hmm. So I live in Colombia. I joined a contemporary clown group and we created for 1 month. I think it was 2 months. We were in the mountains and we created a show that we toured around Colombia. And then one of them and myself went to Ecuador and we created a duet. Mm-hmm. And we created a show that we tour about communities and schools. And then we were given a scholarship or a bursary to attend an international clown school in Ibiza.
Oh, my goodness.
So we both went to Ibiza and I did 5 months intensive in this school. Mm-hmm. And once I was there in Spain, although my parents are from Spain, I was in the other side. I was in Ibiza and they are from Galicia. And mm-hmm. I had no friends because all the people from the school left to their countries. And I had no much money because it was like a new continent. But there was something inside that inside myself that was like, this is where I need to be, and I will stay. So I was in Spain for 2 years and a half. And the same, like training in physical theater, learning storytelling, and doing more contemporary clown. And then eventually I arrived in Scotland.
So what brought you to Scotland, though?
Okay.
From Ibiza.
Okay.
The yes, change.
Yes, it is. Well, after, I didn't want to make it too long, but okay, I tell you.
So, oh, it's okay. This is all about your story, so you can tell as much as you want.
Okay. Oh, cool. I was given the short version.
Oh, yeah. No, go for it. This is the good stuff.
Okay. So what happened is that 2 years down the line when I was in Ibiza, I realized what I did. I was like, oh my God, I left everything behind to become, you know, to be here where I was in that yeah. moment. Because in Venezuela, I was a fashion designer and I was working for a label there and I had my own label. But also I was studying philosophy and I was working for tele and for cine.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly it's like, okay, bye, bye. So 2 years, so coming back, no, 2 years in Ibiza, I thought, oh my God, look what I have done. And I was a bit lost and I didn't know, like, am I doing the right thing or not? So I met this woman, an amazing woman, a meditation teacher
mm-hmm.
that was in Ibiza visiting my flatmate at the time. And she said, hey, by the way, she's from the USA. And she said, so on the 1st of August, I will start a retreat, like a meditation retreat. Would you like to join me?
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I was like, no, of course, no, a meditation retreat. Like, what are you talking about? And like, what? Because it was intensive. So if I was to do it, it was like no going out, not to the streets. And I was like, no, how come? Like, I'm not going to go out to the street. You are crazy. So anyway, after 2 weeks, I called her and I said, okay, I'm joining you. I will be there on the 2nd of August. So I went from Ibiza to Menorca and I joined this woman. For 2 months, I was meditating maybe like 16 hours, sometimes every day.
Wow.
Because that was the only thing to do, you know, it's like yeah. meditating.
Meditate, sit, yes. stare at the wall.
And yoga. And then we had breakfast and dinner together. And I could ask questions anytime I need to ask questions. And then I had 1 hour to do whatever I wanted.
1 hour. Nice.
Yeah, like freedom. Woo.
Gotta make it count.
Yeah. But the thing is that because I was in this intensive environment, I started to kind of like, I don't know how to explain, like taking all the rubbish that was inside myself from my culture, and from my belief and my judgments, and I started discovering who, you know, like discovering more of my essence.
Yeah.
So after a month, I said to her, you know what? I have been discovering so much that I'm not ready to leave you. So I want to do this for a year, but less intensive.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to work as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So she was like, oh, okay, let me see. So the options were we either go to the USA because she is from there, or we moved to UK because she had a longer visa. Longer visa, I think.
Okay.
6 months visa anyway. So she said, okay, why don't we try either or and see what's happened. And we started like playing with the idea of going to the USA, but nothing was really flowing that way. And then she said, why don't we try UK? And I was like, okay. And then one morning at breakfast, she said, I dreamt last night we go to Edinburgh. We go to Scotland, she said. So I was like, okay, let's go. You know, for me, it didn't matter because I knew what I wanted and it was to continue exploring with her, you know? The meditation practice. So it didn't matter. So she said this and I was like, okay, cool. And then researching about Scotland and we said, okay, why don't we go to Edinburgh, which is smaller? And if it doesn't go too well, we move to Glasgow, which is a bigger city. Mm-hmm. And that's how I arrived in Scotland.
Wow, that's such a good story. And I'm like over here with my mouth open, like I have so many questions about so many things in your life. I don't even know where to start. So you were born in Venezuela. And so how did you get into like all of this creativity? Were you always creative as a child, or was that something that you had to like discover as you went?
Well, I was always making something, you know, since you know, like I was always sitting with my granny learning to crochet or learning to knit or making like Christmas decorations, you know. And when I was 8, my mom, my sister and I, she enrolled us all into painting, but I never pursued painting. But then when I was 16, this is the things I remember. I don't remember everything, but when I was 16, I created my first pair of jeans with no help from anyone.
Wow.
And then she suggested that I take like a pattern course, you know? Mm-hmm. So I pursued that, but I went to university to study philosophy.
Right. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I think it's because somehow, unconsciously, they are like, okay, yeah, be creative as your hobby, but go to the university and study something, you know? And I didn't like anything else, and I chose philosophy, which ultimately, I don't know, it's like art as well.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say philosophy feels more creative to me than lots of other things you could have gone to university for.
I know. I think I always was a rebel as well, and I think I would have never gone to like law or economics. So I thought, okay, I need to go to a university. Well, philosophy sounds a cool thing to do. But what's happened is that 2 years down the line, I was missing something. Mm. I was like, this is amazing and I loved it, but it's not enough. And that's when I went to study fashion design because I needed my hands to make things, you know?
Yeah.
And to create and to let like my wild energy free somehow.
Yeah.
So I think this is the answer. But what's happened is that when I was in Ibiza, I was not being creative at all. Mm-hmm. Apart from the my theater training, I was not doing, and when that finished, I wasn't doing anything creative. And in my meditation, I realized I was suffering because I wasn't letting myself be, you know?
Yeah.
So by being with her, I started, and she knew this because, you know, I asked so many questions and she got to know me so well that she started making me do things in the house to bring that energy out. For example, one day she brought a very, very cheap frame, like a photography frame.
Yeah.
Very horrible. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I found this, you know, and I thought maybe you can do something with it and give it some personality. And I remember this was like, oh my God, I was until 3 a.m. making this cheap frame look amazing.
It was like all your creative energy was waiting to just come out.
Yes. Yes, so I think I have, or it has always been there, and I have never have been strong enough to like hide it. You know, I have always been like, oh, you are there. Whoa, let's be, let's do, let's create, let's collaborate. You know.
Yeah, and I can feel the energy from you from here. Like, I just am like so drawn in and want to just hang out and collaborate on things like
this.
I love it when there's other people who were like, you can tell with you that you're so just free to be like, okay, I want to do this, let's try it, right? Like,
yes, I thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And so as you've been in Scotland, where did you said that you had training and was a professional clown and or were a professional clown and you did like physical theater and things like that? Are you still doing things like that in Scotland?
Yes. So when I arrived in Scotland, it was very hard because there were no many contemporary clowns. So the clown I do, it's theater clown. It's very different from circus clown, from children clown. It's very unique and it's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's about showing your vulnerability and showing and being very, very honest on stage. And when I arrived here, I remember that somebody, I was telling this to somebody and they invited me to perform. And I performed this piece of mine and like people didn't understand.
Right. Yeah. Because it's interesting even now, like talking about clowning, because my background is in interdisciplinary arts. And so I know a little bit about clowning and that form of it. But it's interesting, even in the United States, when you say the word clown, people assume either like children's clown or they assume something really scary.
Yes. Like,
so and it's a totally different thing. So could you describe a little bit more what it means, like that clowning? You said it has to do with vulnerability.
Yes, so with a contemporary clown, you kind of need to accept who you are and you need to look at yourself deeply and find like either your weaknesses or your strengths. And then you kind of stretch them so much that when you are in front of the audience, they see themselves in your character. Because you are showing them bigger, you know?
Right. It's almost like an abstraction of things that are true. Like you're just making those things more.
Yes, so apparent. Bigger. So a very easy example is when somebody likes cleaning, you know? And then their clown will be like cleaning everything, even cleaning like the curtains of the theater or cleaning the glasses of the audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also with this art, there is no a fourth wall. So the audience and yourself as a performer, you are together in an emotional journey that the character is facilitating. But if there is no audience, there is no clown, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and the clown does this by connecting constantly with the audience. So all the time is about the eyes, about inviting them, not physically, but inviting them visually to be part of what's happening on the stage. And in this essence, for me as an audience, as a performer, there is no difference. It's like we are all the same, going into the same place, feeling the same. And because it's more about emotions, it doesn't matter whatever I'm doing as a performer, because the emotion is touching you as an audience, and it takes you to whatever place that emotion will take you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And so I'm wondering when you're in your character and you have an audience and you're performing, is there usually like a storyline or a narrative that you're following, or is a lot of it improvisation?
I have both. I have, because I like to have, I have a structure. I have, actually, I have 1 hour show that it's structured like this is happening now. It's there is a narrative. It's a clown that arrives to the airport and no one comes to pick them up.
Oh, I'm like already sad.
But actually, it's very beautiful because it's about empowerment, you know? And it's about like, no one comes to pick me up, but it doesn't mean that I cannot leave the airport on my own, you know?
Right.
So the whole show, it's about that journey. And actually, it was a journey as well for myself to take power of my life. And to be like, I don't need to wait for anyone else to do what I love. I can follow my dreams.
Yes.
You know, and find that energy inside and that strength and be like, you know what? I'm going to go and follow my dreams. So it's about this. And this, what you are saying, that it's sad. It's sad because you can recognize yourself in that situation, you know? That's why it's sad or it's happy or it's, you know, because as an audience, you can be like, oh my God, I have been there. Or if I was there, I will feel like this or, you know, so that's what creates relatability. I don't know if that word.
Yeah. Relatability.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And I understand what you're saying. That's beautiful. I love to see your show.
Yes.
I'm coming to Scotland. It's actually interesting because there's a couple of people we met through like a Facebook marketing group that's amazing. But there's a couple of other people who are in Scotland and that part of Europe. And so maybe soon I will come and visit.
Yes.
And give you all hugs and learn about clowning. I would love that.
But I wanted to finish answering the question you asked me before, that if I still do this in Scotland.
Yeah.
So when after this show that I realized, oh my God, people don't get it. People don't get this kind of art. I started looking for people that were doing this.
Yeah.
And I found only one person.
In all of Scotland.
Well, in Edinburgh. Okay. Actually, in Edinburgh and Glasgow, I was looking, who does this? And then finally, I met this man. And we started to know each other, to share, blah, blah, blah. And then I started a night called Clown Cabaret Scratch Night.
Ooh.
4 years ago, but I have been 10 years in Scotland. So my first year, I didn't know any English. So I was learning English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a while to learn a new language.
Oh my God, yes. And then I was putting myself together to have confidence to go and show myself, you know, because also the culture is so different from my culture, you know, so it took me 3 years to feel confident. But meanwhile, I was doing artistic residencies. I was learning more physical theater. I was still going, doing clown trainings to keep up, you know. I was still doing, I was a life model also.
Oh, man. You mean for like art classes?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And many people actually, because this was so new, people invited me with my character.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So many, many artists created workshops that were like the clown and blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then finally, 4 years ago, and then through that period, I also started producing my show. But 4 years ago, I found clowns starting to emerge.
Right. Finally.
Yeah, like these kind of clowns. And one lady and myself, we put together this clown cabaret scratch night that I said to her, hey, why don't we do this? And the first night we put together, we were four performers and we had 8 people in the audience.
Start small.
And then this man, you know, that I said before, he came to see us and we invited him. Hey, what if you come in and we are the 3 of us. And he said yes. So because we were 3, you know, we started stronger, being stronger. So the second night we had 8 performers, and we had a very little theater, and we needed to turn people out. So we had we sold out 45 people. It wasn't a big theater, but people were like, why? We turned we sent home like 20 people that
day.
Oh my
goodness.
Yeah. So then we thought, this is the time to move, you know, to let's do it bigger. And we found a bigger theater that hosts around 150 people. So for our third night, we had almost 100 people, I think, or over 100 people. And we got funding from the government to continue doing this night.
Wow.
Yes. So yes, I still do a lot of things, yes. But also I have grown. Like, I do this now. I am organizing an international the Edinburgh Contemporary Clown Festival.
Oh wow!
Yes, and also I am a creativity mentor as well. You know, so like I have expanded.
Yeah, so tell me more about this creativity mentoring, because as soon as I heard that phrase, I was like, yes, please. So I'd love to know more about that and your process. How did you start that?
Because I realized, If I see that something doesn't go in one direction, I will make it happen in another way. I am very creative in this. Like, okay, it didn't happen through here. Let's do it through here. So I have a range of experience of how to make things happen in non-conventional ways.
Yeah.
So my friends that are artists, they started asking me, hey, how can I do this? How can I do that? Or, you know, so I started building up experience by helping them realize their projects, their creative projects. And from there, then I started building up this creativity mentorship. Sorry. Like, okay, I can help people to find clarity and focus. I can help them to create a plan of action so that they have an idea of what they want to be. So I help them to go to where they actually to be where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so valuable, especially for a lot of artists who tend to be so much on the art side of their brain that they have a hard time with action.
Yes. Yes.
And making that plan. So is that something that you do? How much of your time do you spend doing that creativity mentoring?
It depends on the how many people I am working with. I don't know how to say how much time. It depends who I'm working. We do through Zoom, so it's through online. So they are wherever in the world. We meet for 1 hour. It depends what they want. And what they need. But also now I want to start working with entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah.
Because I realize that entrepreneurs are like artists.
Yes.
but in business, they many of them think that business is somewhere and their creativity is somewhere else, and it's two different worlds, you know. And what I want to help them with is to realize that, no, it's just one world, and it's you, and it's finding ways to use your creativity to build your business, but at the same time to use your creativity to recharge yourself.
Yes.
and to not burn out.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'm so excited. Like, you know how you said it took you a long time to find other clowns? Like, I feel like it's taken me a really long time to start finding other people who see creativity as that, because that's what I'm all about as well. And I feel like I've been talking to a lot of entrepreneurs about that too, of like, hey, you can have a creative practice, and this is the thing that brings life to you. It doesn't have to be all hustle, you know, because it's right now, especially in America, I don't know how it is with entrepreneurship in other countries. But in America, there's this like, there's this hustle thing where it's like seen as a good thing to work yourself to where you're like burnt out. And that's so not good for you as a human.
Yes. Yes, it's true. It's true. Yeah. But I think as human, as you are saying, we have this idea that, oh, I need to work very, very hard so that my efforts can be seen, you know?
Yeah.
Or I can have some results. But actually, sometimes by working too hard, yes, it doesn't really take you too far away, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we're wrapping this up, I'm like so excited to talk to you, and I feel like we should do a follow up in a few months and talk about more stuff.
yes, that would be lovely.
I would love that. But so I'm wondering if you could give the listeners any piece of advice, especially like considering all the stuff that we were talking about with like not burning yourself out and creativity. What piece of advice would you want to give everybody?
So not burning themselves out and about creativity.
Mm-hmm.
One is like the first thing is to recognize that we are creative because we have a soul.
Yes.
You know, like
I'm like trying not to clap and make loud noises in the microphone.
So this is for the creativity is like once you realize that actually what I am is creativity and this is what everything around us is, then to not burn out, what I will suggest is just let that energy fill your life. Like, for example, something that I always say people that work with me, mm-hmm. I said to them, be alone and create a new walk.
Yeah.
You know, like a walk from your computer to your bedroom in a very funny way or in a way that you have never walked before, in a non-conventional way. Create your own walk. Mm-hmm. And then once you are okay, yes, this walk, it's fun. Then try to take it a little bit further. How can I even make it even more fun? It's not about creating a character.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to come from that energy within ourselves. And it's not about, oh, yes, I'm so funny. It's about does this makes me feel joy and makes me feel like my day is more bright.
Yeah, actually leaning into that playfulness, yes, and
exactly,
wonder.
Exactly, playfulness and wonder. It's, yeah. The walk need to be that. It need to be playful and it need to fill you with wonder from life. And I think these are my advices, Jess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay. I agree 100%.
And oh, so cool.
I'm so happy we got to talk. And my last little question before we go is, what's one of your favorite songs to listen to right now? Because I am making a playlist of all of the answers I'm getting from the women I'm talking to. I would love to know which song you would like to contribute to that playlist.
Actually, I will contribute with one song called Your Hands in Mine. And let me, I am here in front of my, Your Hand in Mine.
Is that by Explosions in the Sky?
Yep.
Yes. I love that song. It's a song without words, but it has so much emotion behind it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to the follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to it's funny because every woman I've spoken to, there's always like at least one topic where it's like, okay, we could have an entire podcast episode just about this one thing. So for sure. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you have a really good rest of your day.
Oh, you too. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Wasn't that conversation so good? Oh my goodness. They just keep on getting better and better. I cannot wait to share more with you babes next week. If you're enjoying the Darling Rage Nation podcast and this Rad as Fuck Women series that we've been doing, please be sure to go on iTunes or any other platform that you are listening to this on and leave a rating and review.
if you leave a sweet review, I'm doing this thing where I'm going to start shouting you guys out. So if you leave a review on iTunes telling me how much you've been loving this interview series, I'm going to give you a shout out in the next couple of episodes. And I think that's just going to be a fun way to connect us and get the podcast a little more visible. So thank you so much for listening, babes. You guys are amazing. As always, you can come and hang out with me on Facebook, Darling Rage Creations, or on Instagram at The Darling Rage. Can't wait to see you there. Hope you have a fantastic remainder of your week. And as always, rage on, darlings.